This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. You're listening to For This I Bow My Knees with Tracy Frederick.
The first verse of the chapter makes it all sound kind of so simple. But to imagine the way it happened, the power that created all that is, it's beyond our comprehension. But recognizing the fact of it, the power that God had to do it all, well, that's the foundation of everything, what is, what wasn't, and who we are, and where we will be. It's a fact. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Moses penned those words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so we would know. We would know that in 6 days, God created all that we see, all that we have, and we know that He said it was good. Except one thing. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, help meet for him." And after God created every beast of the field and the bird of the air, and Adam named them, and there was no helper for Adam. So it was not good. So we recall in verses 21 and 22, God made a deep sleep fall upon Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And she was the perfect helper for him. It's important to remember, to emphasize for what I would like to bring to our attention in the next few minutes, that she was made perfect, without flaw, without sin. She was made by God to help Adam. She and her husband Adam had the perfect life, the perfect home, the perfect relationship. It sounds wonderful, and it was, until it wasn't. And then it really wasn't. The event is familiar to us and can be read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, I'm sure you know, just to be clear, Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 through 17, God put man in the garden and told him that he could eat of any tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God told him that if he did, he would die. So that tree that she took of the fruit from and gave to her husband, that's the one that was off limits. And that's where I would like to pick up on our discussion. In verse 8 of chapter 3, God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day and confronts them both about their sin. Now, you should recall that Adam blamed God for giving him Eve, who it seems pretty obvious from his reference to her as the woman you gave to be with me, verse 12, that Adam thinks she is not good. Maybe even more than that, when God declares to Adam, for this disobedience, he would have to work all the days of his life, hard work. And in verse 16, God tells Eve, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be for thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." So for both of them, there was this pain again for them. And then God drove them out of the only home they had ever known, verse 23. And to make sure they could never go back, verse 24, God said, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Now, I've had a lot to deal with in my life, and I'm sure you have too, but I cannot fathom what Eve felt when she and her husband walked out of that garden, was driven out of that garden and into a world that they had never seen before. I mean, I don't know, because the Holy Spirit doesn't say, but I can place my own imperfect self in her place for a moment, can't you? She carried a heavy burden, I would imagine. I mean, I think it might have crushed my spirit, my heart, with guilt. I mean, much like I have done with other situations, I could see myself in Eve's place, replaying that moment with the serpent when he talked with her and told her that she would not surely die. Maybe saying to myself, if I could just go back, just run as fast as I could and warn Adam that there was a snake and don't listen. Or maybe she would replay in her mind back walking by that tree, looking at the fruit and wishing that she could turn back time, and telling herself, don't touch it. I thought about and wondered about that day when they walked out of the garden. I've wondered, did they look back and see the angel with the flaming fire, a sure sign that God meant what he said? And I've wondered what Eve felt when she was standing there hearing God's curse on their lives and heard what her husband would have to endure because she liked that fruit and thought it was pretty and wanted it. I've wondered about their marriage. I mean, they were in paradise. They had God's undivided attention. They had everything they needed. And now they stood on the other side in a world that they had never known. I know we don't know the state of their marriage, but I know the stresses that our marriage go through, that my marriage goes through, with much less challenges than this life-altering situation. And I imagine and wonder if she felt guilt, like I do sometimes when I tempt my husband. I wonder if Adam looked at her differently. And I wonder if how they worked it out, being all alone. And I've contemplated this when I considered that they had no one but each other and God, which is exactly the perfect combination to work through any situation in a marriage that is stressful and challenging. But I've wondered if at that point in life they turned to each other, or if Adam continued to blame God for that woman that he gave her. And if in that accusation, if that remained in her mind and heart, as too often I hold on to criticism. But they had to make it work, didn't they? God wasn't making anyone else. That's it. God made her as a perfect helper for him. She had to be. God made her from his body. And so they must have turned to each other, because in the first verse of chapter 4, we learn that she had children, and she delivered those children with the help of her husband and God. It's important to remember that Eve and Adam had never even seen a baby, had never been instructed on how to care for a child. She had no memories to draw on. She had never done like preteen babysitting. She didn't know how to do this. Only Adam and God. And of course, it worked. And she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, these words from the Lord are important to me. You see, these words tell me kind of a reflection of her attitude after the pain she experienced in childbirth, promised on her body by God that day that she disobeyed. These words tell me that after all that had happened in her life, being cursed by God, driven out by her home by God, enduring pain given to her by God, she sees these blessings coming from God, the Lord. She celebrates and then she has to endure the death of those children, her children, Cain and Abel. They knew to offer sacrifices to God. God had taught them that, and even God warned Cain directly that the serpent who talked to his mother in the garden was also crouching at the door waiting to devour him too. Chapter 4, verse 7. And as you know, Cain killed Abel. Verse 8. I only imagine how Eve felt when she learned that her firstborn had killed her second son. That is just unfathomable. I know that this was the first time that she had experienced the death of someone, anyone. And here in this situation, she lost both of her children. I have never lost a child, but I know those who have. I've heard the emotional pain is incomprehensible, and can sometimes people can blame God, resent God for not protecting, for not keeping them safe. It can happen, but we don't hear that from Eve. Instead, verse 25 says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God had said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Now this is the last that we hear of Eve, who gives the mercy of God the credit for giving her another son, a substitute. And this is the end of Eve as we know it, but there's not a lot about her, not a lot about her life, a lot to think about. But there's a lot to think about in the circumstances of the transitions of her life. a lot of lessons for me, for us to think about for ours. You see, I hear from Eve that God is all me and my husband needs to make our marriage a good one. I see marriage can withstand a lot of pain and guilt. I have learned lessons from Eve's life that though I am hurting and my life may seem hard, I should remember that all blessings come from God and He is merciful. I've also learned from digging deeply into Eve's life that too often I define other people by a single mistake or sin. And I learned that God shows mercy and grace when we fail. And I should too. There's a lot of Eve's life that God, the Holy Spirit, does not reveal to us through His Word. How she felt when they were put out of the garden. Her learning to cook food for what Adam grew. And it was hard. It was easy. Was it hard? Was it easy? Her learning how to care for a baby. We really don't know any of that. But we know that she was made perfect. She was made in the image of God, made for a purpose to help her husband, made because it was not good that he was alone. She was made in the image of God like I am, like you are. We know that she failed even in the perfect environment, the Garden of Eden. She failed, like I do, like you do. But she persevered, but not only by the grace and mercy of that great God who saw her, who loved her and helped her get through every challenging heartache and struggle that she had, just like He does for you and for me. She was perfect. It was perfect until it wasn't. And then God made it possible for us to be perfect. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. And it is for this that I bow my knees.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we encourage you to please share this program, to like it on social media. Thank you for being with us today.